You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
Here we are with our third Monday Morning Live podcast.
Third time's a charm.
Yes, exactly. So I think we're getting better at each one of these. We'll see what kind of reviews we get. So we're actually doing two things today. We're going to be, of course, recording this, and we're also going to be recording my podcast called Michigan Politics, Huh? We're doing it jointly together, so people can listen to that over the holiday break, whether they're bored on Christmas Day or maybe hungover, John, on New Year's Day. So we'll have that there. So just wanted to get right off on things. Of course, we're still in the middle of lame duck. What's it been last week, guys? Did you get any sleep last week?
Yep.
But we did have a couple of late nights, Mr. One-word answer, John.
Yeah, there were a few.
So Wednesday went late, Thursday went late.
Yeah, the House decided to get as much of their work in as they could Wednesday night and then not come in Thursday. The Senate spent their time finishing things up in preparation for the last week of session on Thursday, and they stayed a little later.
Okay.
Not as late as the House.
No, House was like 3:30 on Wednesday night into Thursday morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you guys were here waiting to see what happens?
Yeah, you were sleeping.
I was sleeping. Of course I was sleeping. I don't have to be here. So what are you guys looking at this week? This is the last week for sure?
Nothing's for sure.
Nothing's for sure. December 31st is for sure.
Oh,
But yes, this is the last week of scheduled session, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. So anything that they're going to try and get done before they break for the year has to be done by Thursday, unless they post scheduled days for after Christmas, which, if anybody does that, it would be painful.
And you guys talked about, hopefully it's this week, but technically it could be to the 31st. I think that has happened in years past where they maybe had to come back at the last minute and fix some things. Is that, what's your memory on that?
Yes, and we'll ask you to bite your tongue.
I'm jinxing the system.
Yeah.
But they could come back potentially all the way to the 31st. We hope that doesn't happen. So let's just kind of get into some of the specific bills and issues we have going on. One thing I noticed right off the top is, you know, there was an interesting MLive article kind of about, I don't want to say attack, that's a word that's popping in my head, maybe the erosion of local control. There seems to be a lot of bills right now that the legislature is going after that kind of takes away some local control for our members. Can you guys talk about that, generally speaking, what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think that's been a theme over this entire term, is attack on local control, as you're saying. But a lot of the situations seem to be stemming from one-off, where there was an issue in one community with one thing, and instead of kind of working through the process of the court system, we're coming to the legislature and asking them to change.
And what's the issue with that? Because I think one example was the not calling tree trimming bill, but we're not calling that, but what's known as the tree trimming bill, there was an issue in a particular area, and that kind of spurred this larger legislation.
Yes. So there were property owners that clear cut a property. It came out in committee last week when this bill was brought up that the property owners never went through site plan approval process. They never went through the permitting process that was required. And so we have legislation that affects every community in the state based on this one individual instance. Mm-hmm. And so it should be handled locally.
Yeah.
Well, and even in this instance, it's not just the one issue that they dealt with. The legislation as was drafted is so broad, it eliminates every vegetation ordinance.
Yeah, that's why I say don't call it the tree bill, because it deals with all vegetation.
Okay. Why does that happen? I mean, where's the disconnect? Are we not, as citizens, are we not informing the legislators what we want, or what's happening?
I think some of the disconnect is when you talk about private property rights, so it's my property, I should be able to do what I want with it. Folks don't think about that. That's what zoning is in place for. It's to protect everybody's property rights, especially when it comes to mitigating negative impacts from one property to the next, and overall protecting everyone's property values.
Okay. I mean, we use this example all the time. Think if you didn't mow your lawn for a whole summer, would your neighbors be upset? Would it impact their property values?
Sure.
It would. So your property right to not mow your lawn impacts those around you. The same way as if you decided to park six junk cars in your front yard, that might impact your neighbor's property values.
Right.
There's reasons why we have those zoning, and that's, you know, when we get into these conversations, property rights is a tricky conversation because it's not just your property, it's everyone around you. And that's, again, why we have the zoning process. It's a tried and true process, been around for decades.
Right.
Very open. People have an opportunity, all sides have an opportunity to weigh in.
Yeah, that goes to another bill that we've been working on here in Lame Duck that went through the Senate last week, the pet shop, known as pet shop bills.
Yeah. What is that? What does that mean?
So there is...
It's not a band, right?
Those are the Pet Shop Boys.
Pet Shop Boys, right.
So there are two bills, and one bill was defining and putting parameters in place to say what a qualified breeder was to deal with puppy mills.
These are these stores you see in the mall or whatever.
Yeah, where retail shops are sourcing their puppies from.
Okay.
And then there was a bill tie bar to it that preempted locals from banning pet shops.
Do we like this? I mean,
issue with those bills.
Okay.
The parameters, if this was truly about putting in place qualified breeders, there needs to be someone dedicated to enforcing and making sure those parameters are complied with.
Okay.
They are USDA, so they're federal standards. MDARD discontinued their pet shop program back in 2009.
Who's MDARD?
The Michigan Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
And resource development.
Yes, and resource development. They, if you look at their website, it says any complaints are referred to local law enforcement.
Okay.
So what we have is parameters put in place that no one is actually going to be following up. If there is an issue, and there have been, that's why there's been kind of an outcry of opposition to this, is we have some retailers in the state who are currently dealing with lawsuits because folks have... one bought puppies, then got sick. There's an individual ended up in the hospital from their puppy.
Okay.
Supposedly.
So there's a health concern there.
Yes. And so why tie the hands of locals? There are three or four communities who have actually regulated banning pet shops.
Okay.
But talking about legislators
saying we don't want you to be able
right,
to do that.
But talking about a local issue of importance and being able to act upon it locally, there's another community that has a retail store that has had some issues. They were approached with an ordinance to bring forward to ban the retail store. They did the very open, public, transparent, you know, process of having public meeting and discussions. They decided, no, this is not, we don't want to regulate this, and they didn't. Mm. So to think that we have communities that are just, you know, drafting ordinances to ban pet shops is really not the case. It's like all things, though. With taxi cabs, we have Uber and Lyft. You know, the times are changing, technology is changing. People are getting a lot of pets online.
Mm.
So again, this is another solution in search of a problem.
Okay, again, it's that kind of what we view as overreaching.
I will say that those bills have made it through the process and going to be presented to the governor. So if folks feel strongly about that, we need them to reach out to the governor.
So yeah, let's stick to that. So the pet shop issue and the not tree trimming issue, not just tree trimming, are both of those been approved by the House and Senate?
No. So the pet shop bills 59-16 and 59-17 have.
For those keeping score at home.
Yes. And we expect those to be presented to the governor sometime this week.
Okay.
Senate Bill 1188 and the package of bills, it goes to 1194. We're in committee in House Local Government last week. There was testimony. There was not the support to move those forward.
Yeah.
There is talk about having those bills discharged to the floor to still have a vote. So we do still need members to be reaching out to their representatives and opposing that discharge.
Okay.
And if the discharge happens, opposing the bills.
All right. Well, you guys heard her. Please contact your legislators. Anything else you're working on, Jen, that of particular note? I hear something about fireworks.
Yes. So we have been working on fireworks. They had... a hearing over in Senate Reg Reform last week and came out, so they're sitting on the Senate floor.
And what are the changes for that we're looking for?
So
here?
The changes that really affect our members are looking at taking it from approximately right now where there's 30 days.
30 days where people can shoot off fireworks.
1 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, so that's been an issue for neighbors complaining about noise and that kind of thing.
So the days have been significantly reduced to around 12. And also the time has been brought down. There are some tweaks right now we're looking at. that I think are going to be done. So the timing is going to be somewhere between 11:30 p.m. and 11:59 p.m. instead of 1 a.m.
Okay.
Where that all shakes out, we'll see here in the end. But that's really the most significant to our members.
Yeah.
The rest has to do with some fees and inspections and kind of more the licensing of the actual retailers.
And we're in support of these?
So we have members all over the place on this, but this is one giant step forward. Is it perfect? No.
Okay.
But it's a big step forward, so we have been supportive of the times and the date reduction.
Okay.
I'd say the sponsor of the bills have been really, really engaged with the league and with Jen, working closely. Jen spent a lot of hours over this fall working to get this compromise put together. So hopefully, you know, there's a lot of pieces in here that we were directly involved in. In securing some wins for our members.
And I'm sorry, did you say it has passed in one of the chambers or not?
Yes, it's made its way through the House. It came out of committee on the Senate side. It's sitting on the Senate floor. We're expecting there's a couple of tweaks that need to be made this week on the Senate floor, and then it would go back over to the House for concurrence. So we're really hoping, fingers crossed, that it can make it to the end.
Okay. I guess I'd say, Matt, as folks are listening to us today, make sure if they get a chance, sign up for our Inside 208 blog, as there are updates throughout the week and as we have time to post those up. We'll be posting updates on everything that's going on as we have been the last couple weeks. And then I know our Ann Arbor team has been putting out a newsletter at the beginning of every week on Tuesday the last couple weeks of all the bills that we're tracking and the different things that are going on. I imagine we'll do the same thing again tomorrow. Have another kind of last update of what members need to be aware of and what bills we're tracking so they can contact their legislators.
Right, and that was one of the questions we got from our Facebook audience. I do appreciate and encourage anyone watching this right now to ask us questions, and we'll try to answer them during the podcast as it happens. If you see us all looking up suddenly like deer in the headlights, it's because our able assistant Betsy is writing the questions down on a whiteboard and we're reading it. So we do actually answer your questions, so please ask those questions. And if you watching this podcast after it's live, feel free to post questions again, and we'll try to follow up right there on Facebook. So let's get into the big issue, Jen, that you're dealing with is, of course, recreational marijuana. There's nothing really pending in lame duck right now with this, is there?
No. So there was a bill, Senate Bill 1243, that had been introduced. It did not get a committee hearing. It did not get discharged. So it's really run out of time to move.
Okay.
And so there's not anything pending. There are some amendments to the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act that are making its way through the process.
Okay. That's medical or, you know,
right,
recreational.
But there's not
two
right,
separate issues.
Yeah, there's not anything right now that's recreational that's is out there.
Right. And I saw, Chris, there was a big headline last week. There was an attempt to amend the recreational law that voters passed in November, and that kind of went down. What happened with that?
It never got brought up. Again, any amendment that would come to something that the voters adopted, whether it was one of the couple of ones that were done here in this election or in prior elections, it takes a three-quarters vote of the legislature to make those changes. So it's a pretty high bar.
That's pretty tough to do, I would think. All right.
And I guess just for our viewers, in terms of the process-wise, as we're talking about running out of time, you know, there is still a week of session left, but because of the way the Constitution is set up, every bill has to be in each chamber at least 5 days. Mm. So if a bill hasn't moved out of one chamber already, then it is probably, unless they come back in after Christmas, it is probably not going to have an opportunity to be brought up because there's not enough time left for it to be
considered. So there are a lot of rules and things as far as timeliness of things that they have to do by when. I heard once, I don't know if this is true, but one time they actually stopped the clock. They actually pulled the batteries out of the clock. Is that true? Did that happen?
I don't know if they pulled the batteries out of the clock, but the clock definitely stopped.
Really?
I was on the Senate floor that day. Actually.
Really? They could do that?
There's a
stop time.
There's a button. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
But the time moves on everywhere else except from that one room.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Unless they're able to stop it for the whole world, like Superman going backwards and making the Earth.
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay. No.
Interesting. So, John, let's talk about John a little bit here.
Sure.
So, you got some issues that you're working on.
He's got a lot of issues.
Yeah, I do have a lot of issues.
Well, something about water fee. Explain what that is, where that stands.
Yeah, so it came up by surprise last week. We got a friendly call, fortunately, from a policy staffer to let us know that the bill was going to be brought up in House appropriations, and the bill would raise a fee both on residential water rates and commercial water rates across the state. Oh. Put it into a state pot and allow it to take care of capital projects and emergencies.
So is there already a statewide fee?
There is not.
No.
So this is a new fee. Brand new fee.
And how much are we talking about for like average citizen?
If you're in a residential property, it'd be about $20 on average.
Wow.
Per year. Not per bill, but per year. And we opposed it. And we opposed it simply because it was taking money out of the local system, providing it to the state, and allowing the state to spend that, knowing that we have tremendous amount of needs locally. So when the bill came up, I was actually the only one to testify in opposition to it. I was actually the only one to testify outside of policy.
Because no one else knew about it, or what?
I think that was part of it.
Really?
And what they did is they actually stripped the bill. So by that, I mean they took all of the stuff out of it and created what we call as a shell bill. So there's really nothing to it, but they moved it to keep the process moving, to keep the conversation going. Because as Chris said earlier, you got the five-day rule. And if they don't have that bill moving out of one chamber and into the next, they don't have the ability to deal with.
So if a bill is moving, even though it's a shell bill, they can add stuff to it.
They can add stuff back to it, and that's our problem. And that's why we're continuing to track it. That's exactly what I testified to. It wasn't so much in opposition to the shell. It was in opposition to what could happen to that shell.
Interesting.
And why. And we gave a lot of details as to the conversations we've had and some of the angst from our members. And I think it was, to be honest with you, well-received, because there were a number of elected officials that didn't fully understand exactly what was going on in that bill and where the discussion was going around it.
Wow. That's interesting. I can't imagine. I know when we first started this, there was like 120 new bills introduced in lame duck. I think I saw it was another 40 last week. So we're talking upward of 200 new bills. And then plus you have these shell bills that how do you guys keep track of all this stuff?
We have like a draft day board, basically, is what's out there with all kinds of things on it. But I think a good part of our role is obviously we got to know that to make sure we protect our members, but also to help educate legislators. I mean, they're dealing with it at the same pace as we are, and it's not their fault that they might not know. I mean, it's just something that comes up, and they got to be able to deal with it, and we need to be there to make sure that we inform them and let them know what's going on and express our concerns where necessary.
Yeah, I think interesting point of that comment is, even though it was only a shell bill that really didn't do any quote-unquote harm, it still only passed the House with only a couple vote margin of what they needed to get it out. So members know what's going on behind the scenes with that bill and the potential that something could come back in it that is much more harmful.
Interesting. So the other thing I think I have for you, John, is in my notes here, it says tipping fee.
The tipping fee,
We're not talking tipping, what?
So the money we pay on trash when we take
trash.
It to the landfill.
So it had nothing to do with the waitress at the restaurant?
It doesn't. Okay. It doesn't, not at all. And the governor proposed increasing that fee.
So it's trash, you said, for...
Yep.
So what is that? What does that mean?
So when your garbage gets picked up, if you're a residential customer, let's say Granger or Waste Management picks it up, and when they take it to the landfill, there's a charge that is placed on them per ton.
Okay.
It's 36 cents currently, and the governor wanted to raise that to $3.99 a ton.
Wow. So 36 cents to $3.99.
Significant increase. But what it would do would pay for three different things. So one, there was some administrative cost within the Department of Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay. DEQ.
There was some brownfield remediation money, and then there was some money for increased recycling to go and provide grants to our communities, community planning efforts to try and increase the recycling rate here in Michigan, all of which are good things. But the tipping fee had an impact on our members that could potentially be negative.
So how would that work? Is the thought that this fee, obviously, the companies just wouldn't pay it out of the goodness of their heart. They would pass it on to the customer.
They would pass it on to the customers, much like we would as a municipality. But there are some cases where we might not be able to do that, and we actually might have to then pay for it and cover that cost out of general fund or in a worst case scenario, reduce services, whether that be in that area or in other areas of our budget.
We're going to have one less police officer on the street because we got to pay this fee to the...
So that bill, which was Senate Bill 943, did not meet the five-day rule that we've been talking about. So it did not pass out of the Senate. But the concept is still alive. And what they want to do is no longer raise the tipping fee, so we don't have an increase on the table. But what they're looking at doing is through the supplemental, which I think Chris will probably talk a little bit more here about, is use the internet sales tax revenue that is now coming in and take the $69 million that would be associated with that tipping fee increase and do a revenue based to fund that brownfield remediation and recycling.
So they would take the money from the sales tax from the internet and use it for that? Is that what you're saying?
They would, but it's a complicated way to get to it, especially, you know, in the last 5 days. But essentially the way that they do it is there's more revenue coming into the budget now as a result of that. Okay. Some of that revenue goes to schools, other of it goes to local government. So what they'll do is they'll recognize that revenue coming in and then make an adjustment somewhere else in the budget to cover that cost. And,
so
and in this case, it's going to be... it's going to be probably income tax revenue is what they may be looking
so that
at.
Would potentially hurt cities again or hurt communities.
It could, but it's a difficult way to go about doing it because of the difference between constitutional revenue sharing and statutory revenue sharing. So we're watching that issue very, very closely to make sure that there is no impact on local government.
This was after the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Wayfair versus South Dakota.
Yeah.
There was this kind of an estimate of how much additional sales tax revenue the state would see. And I think as folks have looked at that, the governor initially came out and said he was going to put all, he wanted all that money to go into roads. Backed off a little bit when we frankly pushed back and said you can't do that to revenue sharing because of the difference between constitutional and statutory.
Right.
And they agreed with that. And I think some of the latest things we'd seen was they were not considering utilizing any of the revenue sharing part of that increase for roads. Now it looks like they're not going to consider all of it for roads. They're going to consider part of it for this brownfield cleanup and recycling.
But we were under the impression that that this was money that, by law, this should at least part of it go to the cities, right? And they were kind of trying to screw around that a little bit, right?
I think that some of the conversation was, okay, if it increases here, can we decrease it over here?
Okay.
And they're certainly looking at that with regard to school funding. Right. I think we've so far, knock on wood, have successfully pushed back that's not a one-for-one when we're talking revenue sharing.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, Chris, let's stick with you on a couple issues. PPT reimbursement, which stands for personal property tax reimbursement. The cities get money back from this personal property tax. What's going on with that? There's some changes afoot.
There's been a lot of activity on the personal property tax front over the course of this whole year, but there appear to be a number of things that are in the mix right here during lame duck as well. A couple of entities that are looking for additional tax exemptions. I know that's no surprise to any of our members who are watching. Some individual business groups are trying to get additional exemptions, and so we're pushing back against those, and hopefully we'll be able to protect against additional tax cuts taking place. Certainly one of the larger ones that we had been worried about was the utility distribution equipment and exempting all of that utility distribution equipment. That bill did not pass the Senate last week. So again, theoretically, there's not enough time for that topic to be brought up in lame duck here, but we certainly expect the...
So is that a good thing or a bad... Or?
So again, if they come back after Christmas, you know, but for now, it appears okay. that we've held off that issue, but it's certainly something we expect those proponents to come back next year and want to talk about.
Okay.
But on the other end, we are looking at some legislation right now that would... change a little bit how the personal property tax system is distributed today to communities. There are certain communities that host state facilities, like universities, prisons, larger state buildings across the state. There's a fire protection grant program where the state actually provides funding to reimburse those communities for hosting those facilities based upon the fire protection costs to those facilities that the community foots the bill on. It's never been funded fully. That formula has never been funded fully. In fact, we've probably only come about 50 to 60% funded ever in the history of the program.
Wow.
One of the changes in this piece of legislation right now, House Bill 6348, is that formula would be fully funded for the first time ever. So those communities that are receiving fire protection grant dollars would receive their full allocation per the formula.
Okay.
An equivalent earmark would be set up for county public health programs. So those would be the two kind of things addressed in 6348 on the front end. And then as we talk about the way communities are reimbursed today, they're reimbursed on their losses from 2012 for their industrial equipment, personal property. Under current law, that is supposed to shift over to a new formula, something we call the dynamic formula. That's supposed to happen over a 20-year period. Under this proposal, that would now happen over a 10-year period of time. So they would accelerate that shift over. And the real benefit, I think, for communities is the dynamic formula instead of basing your reimbursement on what you had in 2012, the dynamic will base your reimbursement on what you have today. So it will properly reflect what the industrial tax base looks like in your community today.
And this is a pretty complex issue, obviously. You kind of lost me halfway through there because I'm not very bright. But you do have this all really explained really well in your blog about this on Inside 208. We're running out of time. So real quick, Chris, anything else? I know there's a hard cap 80-20 bill. There's that. There's a veterans property tax thing happening. Summarize those really fast.
So there are a lot of labor issues out there right now that were being dealt with by the legislature, or potentially dealt with by the legislature. And certainly we talked in our last broadcast about the minimum wage changes and the paid sick time changes. There are a number of other things out there. A lot of them did not get passed last week. Mm. So really, most of those issues will now be held and probably brought back in the new term. Okay. When we're talking veterans exemption, you know, we had put out a call to our members. We were successful in getting a piece of legislation moved out of the House Tax Policy Committee.
Right, and this is basically what we're talking about.
So there's a disabled veterans property tax exemption that was put
disabled
into law.
Disabled vets don't have to pay property taxes.
To the local government. So the state passed the law and told the locals to pay for it.
Okay.
And we said, oh, wait a minute, that's about $25 million.
Good
in local
law,
tax
but that's
base.
Not necessarily fair to the communities.
Correct. We said, you know, if the state wants to do that, that's great, but the state should pay for it.
Sure.
So we had a piece of legislation, House Bills 4985 and 4986, that would have shifted that cost back to the state.
Okay. What happened with those?
They came out of committee. The veterans groups continued to oppose them. Their concern
they were
was,
worried that they weren't going to, it was going to be more paperwork or
right.
tape or whatever for them.
Right. So unfortunately, those bills didn't pass the House last week.
Okay.
So, unless we come back after Christmas, we'll likely have to continue this battle into the new term.
Okay.
But we do seem to have quite a bit of momentum. There was a lot of support in the House committee for doing this. We've talked to a lot of legislators that there's a willingness to do this. They recognize that they passed something and passed the buck onto locals.
It sounds like we need to better explain to the veterans, you know, or at least I think you're working on some changes that would maybe make that red tape less
correct.
Cumbersome to them, possibly.
Yes.
So a couple things, Bruce, real quick. When I wanted to mention when we were talking about the recreational marijuana that the League tomorrow is hosting a webinar for League members. You can find out information on that at mml.org. So I know we have several, almost I think 200 people signed up for that webinar already, so we're really excited about that.
It's a really hazy topic, so I hope members have an opportunity to tune in.
Dad jokes. We prohibited dad jokes, remember that? I did want to, a couple other housekeeping items. On January 7th, which is when our next Monday morning live broadcast will be, is also the opening of the online registration for our Capitol Conference. So if you want to hear from these lovely folks in person, the Capitol Conference is an excellent place to do that. It's in March here in Lansing. So online registration opens for that on January 7th. And the last thing I had, a new segment of the thing we're calling Fun with John. And we're all going to play here. I have, because it's Christmas time almost, I have five Christmas-related questions for John. And five. Jen and Chris get to guess. Of the five, how many do you think John will get? Chris, how many do you think of five? Whoever gets closest gets a batch of my cookies, chocolate chip cookies.
Oh.
So go. Out of five?
Pressure's on,
I too. Think he can get four.
Four? Jen?
Three.
Three. Okay, here we go.
Like zero?
So Jen says three, Chris says four. So the first song, the first question is, John, in the song, where was I when I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus?
Underneath the mistletoe?
Nope, stairs.
Stairs?
Number two, in the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what biological shortcoming made the Grinch so mean?
He had no heart.
Correct.
A heart three times as small as
yep, his heart was two sizes too small. We'll take it.
Go.
What type of canned pie filling is a big seller at Christmas time?
Apple.
And pumpkin. In the film, It's a Wonderful Life, what actor played George Bailey?
That would have been,
Three, two, one, and
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart, I knew it.
And
I
last.
I wanted to say Dean Martin, but it wasn't Gene Martin.
Dean Martin.
Yeah.
And last, not including Jacob Marley, how many ghosts came and visited with Ebenezer Scrooge?
Three.
Correct. So he got what he'd get scoring
two?
At home.
Two.
No, we got three. No, we got two.
Right. You missed Jimmy.
So yeah. Jen said three. Jen wins. He gets the cookies.
It's all right.
And you get nothing. Pick two. I thought I got the cookies.
That's what I was going I'll share them with you.
Well, anyways, and we'll see. We'll work on that. So my last week's joke was, last time's joke didn't go over so well, so we tried this game. Fun with John, we'll call
it. I like it. You got to prepare me a little more. At least give me a topic in advance.
Well, if I give you a topic, you do research.
No, he wouldn't.
No, I want to know what you honestly feel. All right. No, so, like I said before, our next Monday morning live is 10:30 a.m. on Monday, January 7th. We'll be taking a short break for the holiday. And also, thank you for listening to today's episode of Michigan Politics, Huh? The podcast. And with that, I thank you guys. I hope everybody has a good holiday.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.